Christ is eternal. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is temporary because it has one foot in time.
Well, I think that we're in that split second or whatever it is of time. There's no such thing as time as all. So as soon as we had the idea about all this, it was also gone.
I understand.
So if that's true, then we're talking to, I don't know, when I talk to the Holy Spirit, it feels like I'm being heard and answered.
You don't want to step out of time to avoid your experience. That would be a lie.
I can't do that. I can think about doing that, but I can't do it.
So is the Holy Spirit then a part of the illusory world, type 2, or part of the type 1, or half and half? I mean, in Buddhism, they say the only being that can see both samsara and nirvana simultaneously is the Buddha. So in my mind, I think of the Holy Spirit in those terms. The Holy Spirit sees both heaven as it is outside of time, and then it also, the Holy Spirit is also able to see us and our suffering and our need for learning and forgiveness and undoing as well.
You know, I'm really, I don't.
That makes the Holy Spirit unique.
Yeah, the distinction is the Holy Spirit sees what we see, but does not believe it. We see what we see, and we believe it.
Right.
The Holy Spirit knows it's not true. We hope it's not true. And we can't see what the Holy... We can't see God. We can't perceive truth or God. We perceive time, space, and the illusion. The Holy Spirit can't actually perceive time, space, and the illusion, but he knows or sees, like you would see a cartoon, what we see.
And what happens to the Holy Spirit when we enter into the holy instant?
Job is done. When you enter into the holy instant, holy, or say you were able to achieve heaven, Holy Spirit has no function. The Holy Spirit is a correction.
So the Holy Spirit's role is complete at that point.
Yep. It's like, learning a foreign language, and then were you to finally learn the language completely, you no longer need a translator. You need a map in order to get to your hotel the first time. But once you recognize it's right off the freeway, second exit to the right, one down next to the gas station, forget the map. I don't need it. I'm good.
Oh, okay, so another metaphor might be then the Holy Spirit is the raft that takes me from one shore to the other. And once I have completed that journey, I have no longer a need for the raft.
That's correct. Raft, bridge. You get on the bridge, one foot from where you're leaving and the other foot on the bridge. You commit to the bridge. Eventually, both feet are on the bridge. And then eventually, one foot is on the bridge while the other reaches to the other shore. And as you rock onto the other shore, you leave the bridge behind. It only exists between the two shores. You don't carry the bridge with you. It doesn't serve. It can't actually bridge you someplace else in heaven. No need. Yeah, that's right.
So from that point of view, there are millions and millions of people who have at least one foot on the bridge.
Millions and millions. Yeah, you bet. You bet. The time has come. The conscientious human, even the selfish human, wishes that a lot of this world was not true. They do believe it's true, but they wish it wasn't. And a lot of people are driven to a spiritual journey for that reason. Yeah. Millions and millions, Luann, the time has come. Reaching, and then as soon as you embark on a spiritual path and you have a spiritual awakening, a little shift occurs in you where you think, first, there must be a better way, and then you said, oh my God, there is. When it, once your mind actually comes, I call spiritual air. When you breathe spiritual air, like you take a breath one day during meditation and go, oh. A shift in perception has occurred. And now you start to doubt that your body is all that you are. You start to doubt that your birth was actually your beginning, and death shall be your end. You see, before any kind of spiritual awakening or spiritual perspective, you only think of your existence, of your body, as your life. The awakening has not occurred yet. The light has not come into your mind of a perspective that does not fit in your brain and body. There comes a time when you take a breath that is not your own. Spirit is a great word for this because it means breath. Inspirited spirit. Course in Miracles teaches lesson 97, I am spirit. Teaches you to venture into this truth with a certainty, if not a suddenness. Try it on for size. See if you don't get an expanded sense of being that is beyond your body and wholly within you. This is a spiritual awakening. It is a shift in perception about what you are. It is the miracle, the big miracle, the one that redefines every other thought you're going to have. How does it redefine it? Where does it go? From that point forward, you have a legitimate distinction between useful and useless thinking thoughts. The moment you have a spiritual experience where you can say, that was beyond my body by any degree, the moment that happens, at least for me and for everybody that I've gotten into deep enough conversation to check it out, when you have that experience, that sense of being, that enlightenment, is suddenly worth more than every other hour I've ever spent alive. There's no comparison. The fullness, the sense of love and care and belonging and purpose, my connection to all, my connection to beyond the body. I mean, all this stuff just shifts. And now, I can tell you something that's useful versus useless. I know how it makes me feel. I do have a direction. I do have a purpose for the rest of my thinking and the rest of my days. Now, tonight's section that we're going to study together. Again, you know, here we are, chapter 22, two-thirds of the way through the text. This is going to call us out a bit tonight, and it's going to make a distinction of, I've been calling it a two-sided coin. A two-sided coin, meaning each side is legitimate, but when you're looking at one side, you're not looking at the other. You can't even see the other. They are mutually exclusive. You flip the coin over and say, ah, now I know the other side. But which side are you looking at? This is the way it is with your mind. And whether you're thinking thoughts you think with God, whether you're thinking spiritual thoughts, or whether you are thinking material, physical thoughts. One makes the physical and makes it more certain and makes it more important and even invents more of it. But the other, when you look at the other side of this coin, when you discover this lightness of being, when you discover what I'm calling right-mindedness, when you discover this, each thought you have from that free perspective is a creative thought. Quite a difference. It is invisible, but it is creative. So you are contributing to love. You are back creating with God and God's power. And it feels that way. It feels purposeful. Feels like you're contributing to the very love that you seek. It's very self-fulfilling. It's something worth sharing. It's something worth receiving. So tonight we're going to get some pretty straightforward words from Jesus that shows you this coin. And maybe when we get to some of those words, we'll just stop. Or anybody can call it out too, you know. But we should stop and have a little mini one-minute meditation on what we think about that sentence, you know. Which side of the coin are we comfortable with looking at? So let's dig in. Everybody turn to page 480. 480. Chapter 22, section 6. This is a section called The Light of the Holy Relationship. I've figured out, I wish it was in a sentence somewhere that I could quote. Actually, it is. Light is understanding. Light in A Course in Miracles means understanding. And there is a sentence to that effect, but I won't bother looking it up now. Don't have it memorized. Beautiful word, understanding. Understanding is a personal word. It's a personal word to you. It's something that makes you in control and comfortable and helpful. Understanding is a beautiful word. Can you feel the strength of the word understanding? Can you feel the ownership that you have and the flexibility maybe? Because if you understand, then you can work with things, right? If you're guessing, good luck. If you're hoping, good luck. If you're trying, good luck. If you're still learning, good luck. But if you understand, you are so much empowered. So don't underestimate that word when we talk about, you know, the light of the holy relationship. You could say the understanding that comes with the holy relationship. So, Luann, when you're ready, could you read for us paragraph 1 on page 480?
The light of the holy relationship. You want freedom of the body or of the mind? For both, you cannot have. Which do you value? Which is your goal? Well, one you see as means and the other as end. And one must serve the other and lead to its predominance, increasing its importance by diminishing its own. Means serve the end, and as the end is reached, the value of a mean decreases, eclipsed entirely when they are recognized as functionless. No one but yearns for freedom and tries to find it. Yet he will seek for it where he believes it is and can be found. He will believe it possible of mind or body, and he will make the other serve his choice as means to find it.
We're going to read through the whole section and we'll come back and spend the rest of the meeting on that paragraph. Tim, would you give us paragraph 2, please?
Where freedom of the body has been chosen, the mind is used as means whose value lies in its ability to contrive ways to achieve the body's freedom. Yet freedom of the body has no meaning. And so the mind is dedicated to serve illusions. This is a situation so contradictory and so impossible that anyone who chooses this has no idea what is valuable. And even in this confusion, so profound it cannot be described, the Holy Spirit waits in gentle patience, as certain as the outcome as he is sure of his Creator's love. He knows this mad decision was made by one as dear to his Creator as love is to itself.
Wow. Kenny, you going to read tonight?
Well, I'm in the... Can you hear me okay?
Sure sounds good to me.
I'm in the living room, and we got three dogs, so yeah. More than likely, they're going to start barking in the middle. I did practice the first paragraph, but we might be back.
We're going to be back for sure.
Yeah. So I'm going to pass.
In fact, we're going to be back for you to read the first paragraph when we get there again.
Good.
Dogs and all, we'll take it.
Okay. All right.
Good. XL, you'll have to unmute yourself. And would you give us paragraph 2?
3.
3. Thank you, Lynn.
Be not disturbed. Ooh. I just put in eye drops. And
oh.
Everything's okay. Be not disturbed at all to think how he can change the role of means and ends so easily in what God loves and would have free forever. But be you rather grateful that you can be the means to serve his end. This is the only service that leads to freedom. To serve this end, the body must be perceived as sinless, because the goal is sinlessness. The lack of contradiction makes the soft transition from means to end as easy as is the shift from hate to gratitude before forgiving eyes. You will be sanctified by your brother, using your body only to serve the sinless, and it will be impossible for you to hate what serves whom you would heal.
Such a great paragraph. Ross, I got your mute. Would you give us the next paragraph, please?
Paragraph 4, and you're not unmuted.
He's unmuted, but I can't hear him. Yep, nope. Can't hear you. Okay, I think he's going to work on his technical difficulty. All right. Mark, I got your mute, Mark. Would you give us paragraph 4?
Sure. Thank you. This holy relationship, lovely in its innocence, mighty in strength, and blazing with a light far brighter than the sun that lights the sky you see, is chosen of your Father as a means for his own plan. Be thankful that it serves yours not at all. Nothing entrusted to it can be misused, and nothing given it but will be used. This holy relationship has the power to heal all pain, regardless of its form. Neither you nor your brother alone can serve at all. Only in your joint will does healing lie. For here your healing is, and here will you accept atonement. And in your healing, is the sonship healed because your will and your brother's are joined.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, we're back up to Luann. Luann, would you give us a paragraph? Ross, how are you doing? You want to give it a shot?
Is it working?
Yeah, working good.
Okay.
He's back. Number five.
Before a holy relationship, there is no sin. Are you done laughing? The form of error is no longer seen, and reason, joined with love, looks quietly on confusion, observing merely, this was a mistake.
So simple.
And then the same atonement you accepted in your relationship corrects the error and lays a part of sin in its place. How blessed are you who let this gift be given? Each part of heaven that you bring is given you, and every empty place in heaven that you fill, again with the eternal light you bring, is now on you.
Can you see the circle being drawn again and again here? Ross, read that sentence again just for emphasis. And guys, look at the circle that he's reading.
And every, starting there?
Yeah, how about each part of heaven?
Each part of heaven that you bring is given you.
And you could punch the word you just to help people see the circle.
You.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about.
And every empty place in heaven that you fill again with the eternal light you bring shines now on you. The means of sinlessness can now know fear because they carry only love with them.
God. Yeah. We'll spend some fun time on that. It's a love letter. It's a beautiful statement of your power, your experience. Hey, Ross, can you tell us how did it go with work? How did everything work out now that's a week later or two since you were had all that drama at work? Do you want to share?
Well, it's all fine. You know, it's just a story.
Okay. I just wondered what, you know, maybe what you're boiling down of your, of it came. Were you right? Was people out to get you? They're trying to hang you? Were people talking to your boss trying to limit you?
It's more like, you know, the value, it's my other coworker quit there because there's just no value. We're paid the same as someone who comes in day one.
Mm.
And you know, I've helped like every single person that's come into the gym for our organization. I've helped them with their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And they could give a shit. So
that's normal for that facility.
They would write me up. They would tell me that, oh, well, he's doing a rock climbing class. He's trying to make money on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I get from management. And I'm like, okay, fine. As long as they, you know, I have buffers against the management. So as long as the buffer's in place, I'm just going to go and eat lunch and work out and help people. And, you know, retire as soon as I can because they can care. It's like, oh, well, let's get another one.
We know exactly how much we're going to pay them already. Okay.
Guys, right. In 8 years that, you know, add value, we're going to pay them the same amount.
8 years.
Huh?
8 years, you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm paid the same as someone who comes in day one.
Wow. Yeah. And that sounds like normal for that place. Okay.
So, you know, how can you really have a lot of, you know, oomph?
Yeah, sure.
You know what? As long as they leave me alone and I get to do what I want, just, you know, when's retirement age?
All right.
And then they'll give me a cake when I leave.
Free cake. Okay. There's your bonus. All right. Just curious on that. Okay. Let's see paragraph 6 for Tim.
Are you going out of order now?
Yeah. I guess, well, Loanne, you were ready to read?
No, it's not my turn. I thought it was maybe Mark's or XL's.
Did Ross just read? Yeah, I'm losing it.
Yeah, he did.
If Ross just read, then it would be Mark. Thank you. Thanks, Loanne. Take all the help I can get.
Ready?
Yeah, ready, sir. Number 6.
Okay, number 6. Child of peace, the light has come to you. The light you bring, you do not recognize, and yet you will remember. Who can deny himself the vision that he brings to others? And who would fail to recognize a gift he let be laid in heaven through himself? The gentle service that you give the Holy Spirit is service to yourself. You who are now his means must love all that he loves.
Huge sentence. I hope that's highlighted. We'll get back to it later, but I think you should mark that one down to think about it. Huge clue handed over from the author of this book, who has the same mind as you, but is awake. Were you awake? You'd be like, oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Anyway, we'll get back to that eventually, but please continue.
And what you bring is your remembrance of everything that is eternal. No trace of anything in time can long remain in a mind that serves the timeless. Mm-hmm. And no illusion can disturb the peace of a relationship that has become the means of peace.
Wow. Holy cannoli. Okay, back to Luann now. Number 7, please.
Okay. When you have looked upon your brother with complete forgiveness, from which no error is excluded and nothing kept hidden, what mistake can there be anywhere you cannot overlook? What form of suffering could block your sight, preventing you from seeing past it? And what illusion could there be you will not recognize as a mistake, a shadow through which you walk completely undismayed? God would let nothing interfere with those whose wills are his, and they will recognize their wills are his because they serve his will, and serving it willingly, and could remembrance of what they are be long delayed.
Thank you. Beautiful. See, it's a whole new agenda for living going on here. Whole new agenda. Dr. Day, are you ready for paragraph 8?
You will see your value through your brother's eyes, and each one is released as he beholds his savior in place of the attacker who he thought was there.
Wow. Look at the circles being drawn. Whew. Okay.
Through this releasing is the world released. This is your part in bringing peace. For you have asked what is your function here and have been answered. Seek not to change it, nor to substitute another goal. This one was given you, and only this. Accept this one and serve it willingly, for what the Holy Spirit does with gifts you give your brother, to whom he offers them, and where and when, is up to him. He will bestow them where they are received and welcomed. He will use every one of them for peace. nor will one little smile or willingness to overlook the tiniest mistake be lost to anyone.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have fun with that. Excel, are you ready for paragraph 9?
What can it be but universal blessing to look on what your Father loves with charity? Extension of forgiveness is the Holy Spirit's function. Leave this to Him. Let your concern be only that you give to Him that which can be extended. Save no dark secrets that He cannot use, but offer Him the tiny gifts He can extend forever. He will take each one and make of it a potent force for peace. He will withhold no blessing from it, nor limit it in any way. He will join to it all the power that God has given him to make each little gift of love a source of healing for everyone. Each little gift you offer to your brother lights up the world. Be not concerned with darkness. Look away from it and toward your brother, and let the darkness be dispelled by him who knows the light and lays it gently in each quiet smile of faith and confidence with which you bless your brother.
Thank you. Ross, number 10.
Okay, I'll get it by mute.
Oh, sorry, I made you work there, didn't I?
On your learning depends the welfare of the world, and it is only arrogance that would deny the power of your will. Think you, the will of God is powerless. Is this humility? You do not see what this belief has done. You see yourself as vulnerable, frail, and easily destroyed, and at the mercy of countless attackers, more powerful than you. Let us look straight how this error came about. For here lies buried the heavy anchor that seems to keep the fear of God in place, immovable and solid as a rock. While this remains, so will it seem to be.
Oh boy, we get to look at a block, serious block, when we get there. Really good. Mark, would you give us number 11?
Yes. Who can attack the Son of God and not attack his Father? How can God's Son be weak and frail and easily destroyed unless his Father is? You do not see that every sin, every condemnation that you perceive and justify is an attack upon your Father. And that is why it has not happened nor could be real. You do not see that this is your attempt because you think the Father and the Son are separate. And you must think that they are separate because of fear. For it seems safer to attack another or yourself than to attack the great creator of the universe, whose power you know.
Some metaphysics in here. Some metaphysics of understanding of God and you coming up. Back up to you, Luann, number 12, please.
If you were one with God and recognized this oneness, you would know his power is yours, but you will not remember this while you believe attack of any kind means anything.
Mm-hmm.
It is unjustified in any form because it has no meaning. The only way it could be justified is if you and your brother were separate from the other and all were separate from your creator. For only then would it be possible to attack the creation without the whole, son without the father, and to attack another without yourself or hurt yourself without the other feeling pain. In this belief you want. Yet within lies its value except in the desire to attack in safety. Attack is neither safe nor dangerous. It is impossible. And this is so because the universe is one. You would not choose attack on its reality if it were not essential to attack to see separated from its maker. And I did not, I'm going to read that one over again because I didn't get
it. Sure.
You would not choose attack on its reality that the universe is one if it were not essential to attack to see it separated from its maker. As if love could attack and become fearful.
Oh, so much. I mean, suddenly this section is just so loaded.
You're not kidding.
We're really going to have a good time with this. Lots of good stuff in here. Tim, would you give us paragraph 13?
Only the different can attack.
Metaphysical, simplistic truth. Even illogical truth.
So you conclude, because you can attack, you and your brother must be different. Yet does the Holy Spirit explain this differently? Because you and your brother are not different, you cannot attack. Either position is a logical conclusion. Either could be maintained, but never both. The only question to be answered in order to decide which must be true is whether you and your brother are different. From the position of what you understand you seem to be, and therefore can attack. Of the alternatives, this seems more natural and more in line with your experience. And therefore, it is necessary that you have other experiences, more in line with truth, to teach you what is natural and true.
You need a couple of miracles. Exactly. You said it, Luann. Miracles and a couple holy instances to align you with the truth, and then that you move away from the sickness. Very good. Very good. And Excel, would you give us number 14, please?
This is the function of your holy relationship. For what one thinks, the other will experience with him. What can this mean except your mind and your brothers are one? Look not with fear upon this happy fact and think not that it lays a heavy burden on you. For when you have accepted it with gladness, you will realize that your relationship is a reflection of the union of the Creator and His Son. From loving minds there is no separation. And every thought in one brings gladness to the other because they are the same. Joy is unlimited because each shining thought of love extends its being and creates more of itself. There is no difference anywhere in it, for every thought is like itself.
Yeah, there's some sugar for you.
Yeah. Waiting for that one.
Yes, yes. And Ross, would you finish it with number 15? And Kenny, get ready. Get those, start stretching those vocal cords and clean the glasses or whatever you got to do to make it through your paragraph. Okay, Ross, go for it.
The light that chains you, excuse me, the light.
Is that a Freudian slip? We are talking relationships, so I think there's Freud here.
I have some problems with words lately, and yeah, maybe I had a stroke or something. Who knows?
Mm.
Aphasia? I don't know.
Mm.
The light.
Dehydration?
Huh? The light that Jane. I almost said it again.
Yeah.
Light that joins you and your brother shines throughout the universe, and because it joins you and him, so it makes you and him one with your Creator, and in him is all creation joined. Would you regret you cannot fear alone? When your relationship can also teach the power of love is there, which makes all fear impossible. Do not attempt to keep a little of the ego with this gift, for it was given you to be used and not obscured. What teaches you that you cannot separate denies the ego. Let truth decide if you and your brother be different or the same, and teach you what is true.
Good. Beautiful, beautiful. Another little circle there too. Okay, back to page 480. And now be ready for the melodious tones of Mr. Kenny.
The light of their holy relationship. Do you want freedom of the body or of the mind? For both you cannot have. Which do you value? Which is your goal? For one you see as means, the other end. And one must serve the other and lead to the pronouncement.
Predominance.
In predominance? Okay. That makes more sense. Increasing its importance by diminishing its own. Means serve the end, and as the end is reached, the value of means decreases, eclipsed entirely when they are recognized as functionless. No one but yearns for freedom and tries to find it. Yet he will seek for it where he believes it is and can be found. He will believe it possible of mind or body, and he will make the other serve his choice as means to find it.
Beautiful. Thank you. This is a very practical paragraph that is describing pretty much you get what you think about where your treasure is, so there also shall be your heart.
Well, it seems like it's high expectation.
Interesting. Tell me more.
Well, I like the other part in paragraph 5, that it was a mistake, or maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah. Mistakes are innocent.
You know, it takes the sin off, sting off of it.
Yes. Yes. It's because of this, if your bigger mind, the source, God, if God cared, sees it as a mistake, it doesn't take it seriously. Mistakes are innocent. Then you should too. Yeah. Welcome, Don. We're on page 480.
And then when I see that, then it's just a mistake.
Yeah. Yes.
Then I can go back to peace.
You can go back to peace. And another bonus, when you see that it's a mistake, you might be willing to go the other way rather than continue to make and follow the mistake as if it was valuable. Seeing the mistake is a gift. If you can get to the correction, that's really great. But at least if you can see that there's a mistake, you could be led away from continuing the mistake. Yes, Don?
If you choose.
I'm sorry.
480 in the text, which is chapter 22, section 6, the light of the holy relationship.
Okay. Well, I was going to respond to what you were just saying. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can get to the, I can get to the mistake, but the correction, I mean, the actual experience of the result of a correct, you know, change of mind, mm-hmm. by correction, mm-hmm. that's not happening for me. But I'm well, I'm hopeful.
We're going to talk about that a lot in this section, because as I was describing earlier, you're holding a coin in your hand now. As you've embarked on a spiritual journey, you're holding a coin in your hand. It's a two-sided coin. And when you look at one side, say the ego, materialism, and your own self-sense of worth and pride and everything, and you flip it over and you have a holy instant. And now you look at the other side of the coin. This is your mind. Your mind has, you know, you can look one way or the other, not both at the same time. You have a spiritual thought. It's freeing. It is all-encompassing. It get a lighter sense of being with a spiritual thought. It actually is a creative thought. But when you have a material thought, you actually make the physical and you make it more important. And so we're going to be talking about that quite a bit, and I think you'll find it helpful in experiencing what does it mean to actually have an answer, have the Holy Spirit answer. How do you know when the Holy Spirit answered? And what does it feel like? What does it look like? Ross, what do you got?
Oh, so one of the things that you were talking about at one point was just go through the lesson titles and, you know, all this crap that's going on in my so-called, or let's say my dream life, my character life. I've just been going through the lesson titles up through 1 through 10, and it is very helpful.
Oh,
look and see and go, oh, look at that. Lesson number 1, nothing you see. And instead of the room, it's the world. Nothing I see in this world means anything. Number 2, everything in this world, I've given it all the meaning it has. On and on and on. 2, I'm nothing. I everything I think I'm upset about. Nah, that's not what it is. So you just go. For me, it's been very helpful to go through that in
excellent,
a trying dream time with the Ross character.
Mm-hmm.
Who the Ross character, yes, is not having a hard time, is having a hard time right now.
Mm-hmm.
But to go through it and go, well, yeah, but that's the Ross character, because everything I see in this world means nothing, et cetera, yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera,
yes,
until I,
yes,
feel better.
And then the Ross character is made up of this habit of thought of using the past, yeah, to define.
That's like number 7 or something.
Yeah.
So just kind of going through those 10 titles when you're in the midst of the, well, I'm going to use my word, darkness. You find your feeling shifting to what, peacefulness?
Well, to out of rage.
So you're backing off from the
desire to tell them where to stick this job and where to stick the relationship that's not going right, and on and on.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing that practice. That could help. Almost like I could see it almost like each truth, particularly if it's kind of like it's offered within yourself, within myself, with kindness, no judgment, no like edge, just the kindly, almost like imagining that it's been spoken in your mind, in my mind, with tenderness, you know,
right.
Just real tender, and I can see that kind of maybe melting, actually melting the ice cube, my iceberg.
Well, maybe that's how it is for you, but for me, it's giving myself a big old slap in the face and going, what are you reading this big book for unless you're going to take what it says? And when it says, if you're not wholly joyous, you are blasphemous in black and white in this book, read it. And if you don't want to do this work, well, throw the book away, because it's right in there of what you should do in every situation. And that, you know, for me,
that's great. You know, that's a two approaches to the truth of those lessons. Slap in the face. I totally agree. I totally get it. In fact, Ross is holding himself. He needs it.
I'm having a hissy fit right now.
And you know you need it. And
I know
you
do.
You're thank you, sir. May I have another? He's saying with each lesson.
Yep.
He's bending over and saying, thank you, sir. May I have lesson three? Now, Don, what you said is also a beautiful, true approach. And that is that the simple, authoritative logic of I've given everything I see all the meaning has for me. My mind's preoccupied with past thought. It's arresting. Mm-hmm. It is. And the fact that it's written in black and white waiting for you to read any and every time, it's like, wow, I don't really have to stay with these horrible thoughts. If this is the truth, and you can feel the ease, you can feel the melting as you try letting go of what you thought something meant, because you actually don't really know what it means and where it goes. And then your energy goes down, and then your ease goes up, and you start to breathe the spiritual air. You bet, buddy. You bet. It works that way. Luann, what do you got?
I think I have another way of doing it.
Okay, oh, good. There's a third way to look at it, please.
So when I do something that I've made a mistake, I have a feeling about it, and I know I did something that makes me feel bad, that I know that's a mistake. So my way of thinking of it is, okay, I made a mistake. I did something that I wish I hadn't done now that I'm feeling bad about it. But on the other hand, what I'm looking for is love. And the only place I can find love truly right now is through my own inner self. So my job, therefore, is to love myself enough to know that any mistake I made doesn't mean I'm not lovable. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I have to do is remember not to do that mistake again. The same one, don't do it twice if you can possibly help it.
Yep. Keep it where it belongs in the world. Keep it where it belongs in the world. You are not in the world. Keep the mistakes and the effects of the world in the world. Good, Luann. Very good.
That's like it. I think Jesus says we're going to learn to what's outside and what's inside.
Nice.
You're saying the world, that's outside.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Not you. And that's not sir. Your the environment you want to live in.
Yes, sir.
So I guess I would say, Don, that if something happens that makes you feel negative in any way, you say to yourself, okay, but the Holy Spirit is telling me I'm God's child. And who am I to argue with that? So I can feel love inside of me. So that's what I'm going to go for, is that love inside of me.
Yeah. Well, I think I was kind of jumping off what Ross said. I was introducing what for me is a spirit, which is kind and tender and gentle. And I think what you're suggesting is a kind and gentle kind of approach, an attitude, a spirit of a feeling, a tenor, an attitude. And
based on trust, it's almost like knowing.
Yeah, trust.
Trust that if I can just find the love within myself, then I'm okay.
Good, good. Infinite source. When you find it in yourself, it's an infinite source. When you look for love outside of yourselves, it is limited and fickle. Good, good, good.
And so that means I'm responsible for everything I feel and think and do.
And you're happy to hear it.
And I'm glad to know I'm responsible, because I don't want anybody or anything else telling me I'm not the one driving my life.
Okay, so 480, paragraph 1. Do you want freedom of the body? Or, other side of the coin, freedom of the mind? For both you cannot have. You see this mutually exclusive logical imperative Jesus is laying down on you here. Then he gets a little more redundant and he says, which do you value, body or mind? Which is your goal? Body, healthies, perfection, happiness from the body, or freedom of the mind, whatever's going on with the body, which is your priority, mind or body? For one, you see as, now this is important, this is where he gets into a diagnosis of what your experience might be. Sentence five. For one, you see as means, and the other, the end. And it could be either one. The body is the means, like right now, our Course in Miracles meeting, we've all used the body to pay attention to a spiritual awakening and the spiritual gifts and understanding of A Course in Miracles through this meeting, through this Zoom. So the body is kind of behaving and participating for some spiritual freedom. The body is the means, and getting the meaning and the gift from A Course in Miracles is the end. He says, or you can turn it around and you can use your mind to make your body stronger, make your body more attractive to other bodies, make your body healthy, make your body wealthy. Go get some education with your mind to make your body appear wise in the world and get happy that way. That's the promise of the world. It's great fun. I've done all of those things. I've done them all. And now I've discovered that the depth is in my mind. The satisfaction is only when I actually had my body sit in a half lotus and start pouring in on spiritual awakening and mind awakening. That pays my experience. So now the body and its participation is means for the end, the goal, which is freedom of my mind. I love it. It's just, I'll take it. I'll take one more day of free, one more minute of free mind. That's okay. I really like that. Free body. It's preferred, but not over free mind. What good is a free body if your mind is tortured?
And you can't have a perfect body anyway. Perfection, I don't know if there's much of anything that's perfect. Maybe that window behind Tim.
It's kind of a moving target as you move into your 60s, 70s, 80s. Yeah. Mark, what do you got? Yeah, I got your mute. Go for it. We're both doing the mute.
when I was listening to you read that first sentence, it reminded me of seek and do not find. Hmm. Because if you choose to try to free the body from whatever you're trying to get freedom from, health or money or whatever, it never works. And so the ego loves for you to try to go on a journey of making the body free, and it doesn't work, has been my experience. So it's like seek and do not find.
Even when it seems to work, it's short-lived and not to the depth I wished.
Boy, you can say that again.
It doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
So how much more effort are we going to invest in healthier, wealthier, wiser, better friends and relationships? At some point, you think you get old enough that it's like, is there another way to achieve this sense of freedom? Or must we continue to go the body route, healthier, wealthier, wiser, better friends? Self-esteem, pride. Yeah, decent thing to think about. But I guess you're all here because you've all discovered that there is more to what the world promises, and you've got a taste of it somehow, some way. That's who comes back to these meetings. Somehow, some way, they got a taste of something beyond, keyword, beyond the body. Congratulations. You have all made it. You've all made it. Nobody can take it away from you. Your spiritual awakening has begun. It will not reverse. It will not end. You've all made it. As the Course says, go for more. Speed up. No need to delay now. Now that you know that you have the responsibility, if you wish to take it, for any thought that is not perfectly happy, you don't need to have any more unhappy thoughts. True or false?
It's true.
That a girl.
I have been dedicating myself to ACIM versus all other pathways I've been on for about 10 years now through Andrew. And just recently, I have been doing it more and more, working on it more and more often, and I'm finding myself more and more happy. I had no idea that Andrew knows how I've been working on it. Just doing it that way is what will make me happiest.
It squeezes out the ego, and it gives you more and more hours of your week where you're free.
Yeah.
Freedom of the mind. Yeah, it's very self-empowering, and it changes also, Dawn, you know, we talk about this a lot. It changes also the chemicals in your brain and in your body. Your body's ability to go to sadness, how quick does your body have the ability to go to anger or to go to sadness or to go to depression or how quickly to fear depends on, you know, of course, your genetic propensity, but also how often do you do it? The body builds up anything and everything that it is called to do on a regular basis. That's what Ross is probably teaching in his gym. People who are weak in a certain area, they say, you know what, I know you're weak there, but if you continue to use that muscle, those bones will get thicker, the ligaments will get stronger, the muscles get stronger, you get more vascular. Actually, blood vessels grow in the area that you're exercising, and you'll find it easier after a while, and you'll have the strength that you seek by pursuing it. Tim, what do you got? Hang on a minute. You got your mute, I got your mute. One, two, I got it. No, you got it. No, I got you got it.
Okay, there. We're clear. And I can lower my hand. There's an... we've been talking about, you know, what would you rather have, the body free or the mind free? And it's possible to have a body that is not free. And by not free, I mean it suffers from physical ailments. You wish it was other than what it was. But while the body is sick, the mind has the ability to be quite free of the sickness that goes along with that. The converse is not so. If you have a mind that isn't free, the body is never healthy.
Nice.
Okay. So it's possible to have sick body, healthy mind, or healthy body, healthy mind, but never sick mind, healthy body. Just a thought.
It also goes along with you, if you can't see that you're lovable, you cannot allow yourself to be loved.
Oh, you must know that you're lovable. It's an essential first step to making any further progress. And it's often the one that stops most of us, I'm speaking from personal experience here, dead in my tracks before I make any significant progress because I couldn't get over the first hump. I'm lovable. It took me forever.
Excel, what do you got?
You can't, you just said you can't have a sick mind and a healthy body. And last spring, I went through, I began an experience of just horrendous, but everything came up. Fear and deep sadness and grief. And it came up from, through the spring and into the summer. And I think it started to ebb in January. So, anyway.
But you had it for a long time.
Yeah, I was going through. It's just...
For whatever reason, it was just present for a long time.
I feel it was all the stuff that's been pushed down my entire life that came up. Boom. And it went on for all those weeks. Pardon?
Is that all?
I kind of don't know.
You said anyway, your whole life came boiling up. That's quite a bit of material.
It was. Okay. The weird thing is that all the nagging aches and pains and little ailments and big ailments that I've had for the last, that I can remember, 40 years, I had none of them the entire time. I wasn't sick once. I didn't have a backache. I didn't have running, nothing. And in the midst of emotional, all the emotional stuff, I was actually aware, my God, my body, nothing. There were no physical distractions from the body. It was all from within. And so, talking about this, I just wonder how could this be? And now that the emotional part has, oh my God, I can live. I'm eating again. Okay, all the little aches, big aches and pains, all sorts of body crap going on. They're back.
Yeah.
Okay, does anybody have any information?
Luann has a comment for you.
I'll take it.
Well, I would think that Andrew would go from a spiritual point of view, but from a psychological point of view, which is what I was before I retired last year. You were letting all the emotions that you've had in your body emerge rather than stuffing them. And stuffing emotions is much worse than letting them be free to express themselves. So I think that the fact that you were expressing them probably was a release from all the pain you were holding because of them. So I would, if I were you, think of what kind of emotional pain you're holding back now, if your body's starting to react again.
Another way to think about it is mind-body medicine. So if the mind is suffering, eventually the body catches up and it suffers as well. You described a situation where your mind was suffering because all the stuff was welling up, but all of your ache and pain seemed to disappear for that period of time. Did I hear you correctly? Okay. So it's possible, one way to think about it, and I'm not sure that this is right, this is just an interpretation, is that as all the stuff came up out of you and into your head and then dissipated, you processed it, then the body was able to sort of go, the brain's getting healthier, the mind's getting healthier, maybe I'll get healthier too.
I'm willing to say that the experience, while all of this negativity was coming up, you didn't care much about the healthy body. It was so negative, and losing sleep and not eating and worrying, that who cares about the body? I'm so depressed I might commit suicide tonight. Who cares if the body's healthy? I'm going to kill it. This is probably this is a sick mind doesn't care about the healthy body.
Or the other way of looking at that from my point of view is when your mind is going like that, your body you don't even register your body. You're just not noticing that much.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The thinking that when you experience pain of the body and then you think about the pain in the body, a little cycle occurs, a physiological cycle occurs. That pain, your mind thinks about it, and then it gets a little worried about the pain, and then the body excretes a little more cortisol, a little more of this stress hormone about the pain, which makes the pain worse because it changes your body's respiration down on the capillary level. Dr. Day could talk about this for hours.
In medicine, we call it a reverberating circuit. It's self-reinforcing.
Yep. Yep, you're doing it to yourself, and then you're doing it some more. So you didn't care. You stopped doing the reinforcement XL. You took off the layer of it's this simple. You took off the suffering from the pain of the body, and you moved it into your mind. And all those things, all emotions you say that come up that were so ugly for so many months, that's where you spent the suffering. Yep. Luann, is your hand still up, or are we going to move on?
Oh, my hand's over in the corner. I couldn't see it. But
oh, Don, what do you got?
I will say one thing.
Wait, look, she's taking it.
One thing more, Axel, is it Axel or Axel?
Axel.
No. One thing more, Axel, is... when I have people that are telling me about their emotional, their physical pain, I tell them to think about something else. Think about something happy. Think about the fact that you're glad you're past all those months of misery in your mind. Think about your grandchildren or your children or the last movie you saw that you really enjoyed. It's amazing how fast your mind really cannot think of one thing at more than one thing at a time.
That's the key. Break out of the cycle and the self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, very good. Don, what do you got?
What came to me was there's something in the Course where Jesus says, do not look to effects. Do not look to effects. And I think it means, you know, and I can relate to this myself. You know, you look, if you have an ache or a pain or a headache or you're upset, don't look to the effects to inform you of your well-being or your true well-being or who you are, or what you are, perhaps they are a reflection of some emotions, and some thoughts, but even those are not of God.
And their effects.
And there are effects as well. Yeah, okay.
Good job. Absolutely. You are talking us all out of victimhood. Thank you very much.
Teach what you most need to learn.
Good. I think you're talking there, Tim. We can't hear you. I'm going to unmute you, see if it's for us. What's that, Tim?
I said, Don, would you please not get rid of my victimhood before the end of the hour? I was rather enjoying it.
He was drowning his victimhood and enjoying it.
And now it's gone 15 minutes early.
Dang. I'm sorry.
Okay, so that's pretty important. This beginning of this paragraph shows that either your body serves your mind's freedom or your mind serves your body's freedom. But you don't do both. You choose one or the other. So you might remember two sections back ago, we talked about the branch and the road. We talked about the branch and the road for days. And that's where you're kind of waking up, taking responsibility, and your ego is saying, I'm going to get angry. And then your mind says, you don't have to. I don't. Maybe I won't get angry this time. Maybe I'll just navigate this without raising my voice and cussing and swearing and putting people down. Maybe I'll not worry so much and just do what needs to be done instead of worrying and putting it off and drowning in sorrow, maybe I'll just go to peace. This is a branch in the road, see? Are you going to go the way the ego would have you go? Or are you going to take the branch? The Course in Miracles says, you could choose peace instead of this. Lesson 34. Where's your devotion is the question. Do you want peace? Or are you still addicted to the suffering and the fantasizing on how bad it gets in the world? Comes right to this paragraph. Do you want freedom of the body or freedom of the mind? Imagine if somehow, some way, you found a way with A Course in Miracles, I hope, that you recognize you actually could choose peace anytime, anywhere, any circumstance in the possible future. You could navigate it with peace.
I think I'm happier now because I'm concentrating my mind on finding peace by doing the way I've decided to do the book for the rest of at least the next year or so.
Yes, you bet. That's vigilance, right? You keep your eye out and concentrate on choosing peace, choosing the empowerment and the authority and promises that are in this book. You allow them to be true for one day. Just for maybe, if you can't do a day, try an hour. An hour is too much? How about just the practice period? A couple of minutes. Allow it to be true. The big picture, that there is a love that is beyond your body, and from that you come and return. And I've never left. Just for a minute. Give me a minute. Okay, you can't do a minute. Is that what you're telling me? A minute sometime is too enough? How about an instant? Take a break for an instant and say, oh, there is love. I'm part of it. I came from it. That's where I'm going. In fact, that's where I am now. Oh. Can you do that for a... I know you can, and you probably all have. And I just remind you, if things hit the fan and time gets tough, find a way to give yourself a break into a holy instant. You know where this comes from? I mean, so many places, right?
While you're thinking, I want to say the more you do that, the easier it is, because the more you trust that you can find that place of love.
Amen, sister! We were still in a meeting in person in Santa Cruz when we spent, I could have been a whole month on one paragraph. I thought it was so important. Let's go there now. Go to page, hold your finger here. Well, we won't be back. Wow, we may have to do this paragraph a third week, but still, let's go take a look at this little garden. Go to page, I think it's 388. I keep thinking that if I get Alzheimer's, I'll still have A Course in Miracles memory. Because Alzheimer's, isn't it like short-term memory loss, but your long-term memory is intact?
Yeah, hippocampus, but not the other stuff.
Excellent. So I could be running course meetings and having a great time and not remember that it's my name.
I have a problem with that. I don't have short or long-term memory.
No memory at all. 390. Go to 390. 390. I saw this cartoon years ago. God, it was 25 years ago. Little cartoon. First frame is a woman sitting outside her RV in her lawn chair talking to her friends. And she says, well, I went to see my doctor today and he told me I have Alzheimer's. And the next frame is her saying, but at least I don't have Alzheimer's.
Happy with Alzheimer's and not know it.
That's his Sumheimer's. Yeah.
No, you know, maybe you just forget your problems. You don't have any problems. All right, so...
Well, that is actually, you know, that's interesting, because when you do, you can have a problem one moment.
Yeah.
And with a shift of mind, you have no problems.
That's right.
I'm just studying that part of the course. So.
Yeah. I was early in the course. I was studying this concept that, you know, how powerful can you really let go of your problems? Can you choose peace? You know, and driving my car, and it's something, you know, rolled out. I can't remember at all. A dog or something jumped out in the road when I was driving a little too fast, and all my attention went into controlling the car in a hard brake, slight skid to avoid a mess. And I got through it, moving around it. And now, what was I worried about? I remember I was worried and thinking and trying to challenge myself. But for a moment, I was really free and simple as I navigated the car into a slight slide as applying the brakes and avoiding this problem in the road. And I thought, oh, geez, the gig is up. The course is true. There, right then, I chose to spend all my energy on not over-braking. If you press the brakes too hard, you will spin out. You got to press them pretty hard. Back in the day, before ABS, you have to be careful how much. I had this old Camaro. You have to be careful how much brake pressure you put on it.
You fishtail it.
You will, yeah, the car will reverse and you'll be going backwards. So you get pretty good at kind of metering the brake pedal. And I thought, wow, that's all my mind was there for moments and moments as the car started to slide sideways and straight and then sideways again. And I thought, you know, I wasn't worried at all. I don't remember the problem either. But it was a concern, whatever it was. And I was like, wait a minute. If I can do that for nothing, you know, for managing to steer the car right, I could probably do it anytime I want. And, you know, the gig was up right then. The power of my mind. I said, wait a minute, I could do it anytime I want.
You were really present.
I was present. And it was obvious. I just chose not to worry and to do something else. Yeah. Okay, so... we're going to close the meeting with this interesting paragraph. I want to invite you all to consider that on page 390, right above the title, The Little Garden, you know, the titles were put in later. Helen got this, you know, Helen just kept writing. And all she had on her page was the date. And she just kept writing and writing and writing. So they broke them up into sections later. So you could argue that paragraph 8 on that page could belong with the little garden for sure. Look at this wonderful sentence. Just for interest of time, I'm going to kind of walk you through it. And the idea here is that please, if you haven't already done this, take a few moments after the meeting to choose a visualization of a very wonderful place which you wouldn't mind being. Is it a little bench on underneath a shade tree with maybe a little fountain nearby and the perfect temperature? Is it some place from your childhood? Is it some place where you and your best friend realized you were best friends and said, oh, this is great, I could talk to you forever? You ever had a friend where you said that? Has everybody here had a friend you could say, I could talk to you forever?
Yeah.
Has everybody had that?
Yeah.
That's just a wonderful sense, isn't it? If you can remember being with that friend or some place, or maybe with somebody, a family, your family home where you grew up, your favorite place to go sit and read books, that window seat on the second floor. Anyway. Find some place or make up a place. You can fantasize, make up a place where you'd like to just sit and be really relaxed and safe. Doesn't matter if it's real or fake. Because what you're doing is, what Luann was talking about earlier, is the more you exercise the sense of peace, the more you can have and the quicker you can have a sense of peace. It's like a muscle. Here's a paragraph that lays into it. It says, give yourself this gift, says Jesus. Okay, this is paragraph 8. It says, there will always be this place of rest to which you can return. And you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. Give yourself a quiet center. This quiet center in which you, key you, you got to underline that you, circle the you, do nothing. You see, the body's not invited. Your character in the world is not invited. You're going into your mind. You're choosing a place in your mind that's a quiet center of the storm. Give yourself this gift. Pick a place. Practice seeing this place in your mind. Make it part of your meditation. And you have some place to go now. All right. This quiet center in which you do nothing will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing in which you are sent. You see, you're going to have a new foundation for peace. You will have a personal foundation for your peace of mind. It will be a visualization. It'll be just some place you can instantly visualize and associate with peace. It will help you quiet your mind, calm your mind, and then some of those good mind juices will start to flow, and you will feel more peaceful. You will be empowered to do this. This is a gift you can give yourself. It's a practical way to manage while you're in a body on how to choose peace.
In fact, the best gift you can give the world is a perfectly healthy you.
Nice. And you're not alone in the effects of your thoughts, says the workbook. Number four, from this center, I hope you all give yourself, will you be directed how to use the body, key word for our studying in the section tonight, sinlessly. Using the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep the body absent. Keep it so in your awareness of it. Keep it sinless. Keep it absent. In your awareness of this quiet center, there's no room for the body. The body just meaningless. You're talking about a place in your mind where you know peace. You know peace. Give yourself this gift. Imagine it. It can be out of a cartoon from Disney World. It can be from your childhood. It can be someplace in your house. It can be a complete made-up place or a real place. Go for it. Choose it. Practice it over and over. And give yourself a place that you can instantly go that you associate with peace. And I'll tell you, if you ever get in a situation where life is really, really, really difficult and you think you might even be dying, wouldn't you like to go this place instead of waiting it out, your last breath? Maybe that's too dramatic for you. But nonetheless, give yourself this gift. It'll be a home for your peace that you can call on anywhere, anytime. Thank you. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. We have a really important section to cover. This section we started is wonderful. It's rich, rich, rich with metaphysics, and we'll continue to give each other the gifts of our experience of it next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for your teaching, Andrew.
You are so welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, everybody.
Good to see everybody.